We're continuing the sermon series in Deuteronomy. We're on Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. And for the New Covenant reading, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. And then Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Let's hear the word of the living God from Deuteronomy. God said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I am the Lord your God. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest, as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Here ends the reading of God's word. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. This is of the New Covenant. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this passage he said, "They shall not enter my rest." Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Here ends the reading of God's word from the New Covenant. Memory can be a funny thing, not funny as in humorous, but strange. Memory loss is difficult for people who lose their memories from age or injury. And having lost your memory, the most severe case is what we call amnesia. The person doesn't know himself. It ends or changes relationships. If I forgot I was married and who I was married to, that would end the marriage. If I forgot who my children were, that would end my being a parent. So the relationships you have do really depend on your memory of them, of yourself in that relationship, your history, good times, bad times, you know, in marriage vows, for better or worse, in a marriage, till death do you depart, separate. So good and bad times in a marriage, good and bad times in a family, your memories of that experience and of that relationship make it what it is. In this Deuteronomy chapter 5, the whole passage, and as we'll see, almost all of Deuteronomy, is a covenant ceremony repeating what was done at Mount Sinai. I'm giving a basic review. And it is going to remind the people of God of who they're in a relationship with. And yes, this is a moral thing. Don't kill, don't commit murder, don't steal, and so forth. But we need to understand this not just as a moral code, like, oh, the unbelievers need to have this. This is really not even for unbelievers, because it demands that you remember something in a relationship that was covenantal. God had made a relationship with the Jews, the Israelites, at Mount Sinai. They so rebelled, they died in the wilderness. They did not enter God's eternal rest. And here you see Moses being the one who is the instrument of God to remind them of what to remember. It's interesting if you look at this Ten Commandments. Why doesn't God tell them to remember all these commandments? Remember, don't murder. Remember, don't steal. Remember this. He doesn't use the word memory, remembering, except for the Sabbath day. So I'm going to start an exposition on the Ten Commandments with memory and the Sabbath, because we need to understand this is a profound covenant relationship for the Israelites. In Exodus and Deuteronomy, both, there's the Ten Commandments. And in both, the Sabbath day is explained. And they're told to remember the Sabbath day. And it's interesting that the recording of the Ten Commandments in Exodus and the recording of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy differ slightly. And they differ precisely in the reason why you should remember the Sabbath day. So I want to draw your attention to a comparison between just the Sabbath day passages in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. I'll tell you the answer to the difference. Exodus refers to creation as the reason for keeping the Sabbath day. God worked in 6 days, he finished and then rested. That's the reason for the Sabbath day in Exodus. Here, the reason is redemption. So what's Exodus say? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, etc. But the seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your male servant, female servant, your livestock, sojourner within your walls. And then in verse 11 of Exodus it says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day, which doesn't end. It has no morning and evening. It continues. God is still resting from his creation. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The reason for keeping the Sabbath in Exodus is because God rests from his creation. And so you, as you do your work for 6 days, you rest on the seventh day. He did say in Exodus, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That's in Exodus also, as it is in this passage, the beginning of this passage. But there's a difference. Keep the Sabbath day because God created everything in 6 days and looked at it and then blessed the seventh day. And so that's the reason in Exodus for them to keep the Sabbath. What did God do in creation? Let's do a little homework here, a little review. The passage in Genesis describes God working for 6 days. There's a process going on here. The world was formless and void. It was hostile. It was like a wilderness. The world was formless, and he forms it, and he separates mountains from valleys and oceans, and the waters go down, and so he forms it, and he creates things, and they grow, and they're going to, and so forth. God saw, this is a quote, everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And God judged it very good, kind of like a person building something and saying, it's very good. It's the right building. I built it the way I wanted to. That's it. But God's not building a house. He's building all of creation. Sun, moon, stars, this earth, all the planets, everything that exists, God creates and forms and then places Adam and Eve in paradise where there's trees that are beautiful and everything is good to eat except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he judges very good. You and I have never experienced paradise. But God said, I made it just the way I wanted. It's perfect. Very good. And God rested and blessed the day of rest that he took. And the day of rest, his resting is the same kind of word that's used for some king resting on his throne, seated on his throne. Kings sometimes go to battle, and when they're going to battle, they're moving, they're in action. And when a king finishes, he sits on his throne because the battle is done and finished and all the enemies are done with. War has been successful, so the king sits on his throne. And so in a way, God is sitting in his throne in heaven because he's finished the work of making everything that exists. And it is very good. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. We weren't there. But we've got a glimpse of the creation we have now. Human beings are made in his image, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is still joy in what we can see and touch and taste and work with. We're now in a season when things are growing, and we realize everything was kind of dormant and they pop up. Do you think they pop up on their own? No, God is popping them up. God is behind every living thing, you and me and the trees and the flowers that are coming green. And God was behind the fact that they were all dormant. These things don't just happen. God is active in his creation. But this creation is cursed by God, isn't it? Adam and Eve were cursed by God, thrown out of the Garden of Paradise. Well, God rested at the moment in time when it was all very good, perfect. Therefore, one day in seven, the seventh day in Exodus, is the day that those Israelites, in a covenant relationship with God, are commanded, do no work on this day. Rest, because God rested when he created everything. So while you're doing your work in your 6 days, take a seventh day. Not because you need a break, but because God rested. You imitate God in that way, and you remember. What are you to remember? God created everything. Oh, every 7 days I'll remember. God created everything. So I will stop my work. Even though I'm in the image of God and I can create things, I'm going to stop like God stopped. And I'm going to remember God who created everything. It's a covenant relationship with the Creator is the point. God who created us. God who created everything. We remember him by not working every seventh day. And you're in a covenant relationship with the one who created everything. Brothers and sisters, that is so profound, and we lose sight of it probably every 6 days we go to work. But God created everything. So when they were told, don't work on the Sabbath, they were told, because God created everything. So they would remember. By stopping work on the seventh day, God created everything. That's Exodus. Now Deuteronomy, this doesn't mention it. Same command, stop work, blah, blah, blah. You know, nobody should work, and so forth and so on. You should rest. Here's what it says, as we read. Deuteronomy 5:12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord God commanded you. And then skipping a verse down to 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Well, what event is that? That's redemption. Let's put it in terms of rest. They were slaves in Egypt. They had no rest. They were told to keep making bricks, and we won't even give you what you need to make them. Keep making your quota of bricks. Day and night, they're slaves. Their bodies don't belong to themselves. They're whipped. They're punished. They're enslaved. They're not their own. And even at one point, Pharaoh said, throw their boy babies into the Nile and kill them all. What a fun day. No, that was miserable. God, through Moses, redeemed them. They were slaves. That's what they're to remember. We were slaves. How did we get out of that? Oh, yeah. The Lord our God brought us out from there with a mighty, powerful, supernatural set of plagues, and then destroyed Pharaoh's army, and then provided for us in the wilderness, and so forth. So remember God who rescued you from slavery on the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Not because you need a break every 7 days, but because God redeemed you from the hellish experience under Pharaoh's Egypt. The pattern of both creation and redemption is somewhat similar. In creation, God works first. He forms things. Waters up, things created, land created, and so forth. He works a process, creates paradise, puts Adam and Eve in it. See, he works first, the work is finished, and God rests. In redemption, God works to save them out of Pharaoh's Egypt. He works, he powerfully does the plagues that he uses Moses as his mediator to do. Moses did supernatural things through God, and God commanded him to do it, and they go, and Pharaoh's army is destroyed, and they're provided for in the wilderness, and it should have taken them only 2 weeks to get to the land of Canaan, and they didn't go in because they were afraid. But anyway, that's the point is, God worked. He worked. And what's the goal? The promised land. When they get into the promised land, it should be rest. Why didn't they enter the promised land? Because they didn't remember God, their Redeemer. They didn't remember God who had done those mighty things in Egypt. They said, we can't go in the Canaanites, they're too big. They forgot God who had done those things for them. Psalm 78, verse 42 and 43. This is a psalm that bemoans the fact that there was a lack of God's people, the Israelites, remembering. They did not remember. Here's what it says, Psalm 42 and 3. They did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe. That's not just one day, it's several days. The day when he redeemed them from their foe, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the field of Zoan. God destroyed them. The avenging angel came and killed the firstborn in every house that didn't have the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorposts. God did this. They forgot he did it. They didn't remember. Amnesia? No. They heard it, but it didn't sink in or whatever. They did not remember it. They remembered other things. The spies went into the promised land. Oh, they're too big for us. That's what they remembered. So, what is Sabbath keeping for the Israelites? They're in a covenant relationship. And every week, they're to have a sign that they're in a covenant relationship with God, the creator of everything. And when he originally created it, it was very good. Very good. Not a bad start to a world. And he is also the God that redeemed them from slavery and bondage and suffering and persecution in Egypt. He rescued from that. And he had a destiny for them if they would obey. They didn't. They forgot. They did not remember God's power. They did not remember the day or the time that he redeemed them from Pharaoh. They forgot the signs he performed in Egypt. Just as God had a goal in his creation, he would work for a period of time, forming the world, creating things. And his goal was perfection. Very good. If God judges something very good, it's perfection. That was God's goal, perfection. And perfection is also God's goal in redemption. Perfection. Rest in the promised land for the Israelites. Hebrews, there's a rest promised for God's people. So with redemption, what's the goal? Redemption, the goal is to bring God's chosen people, the elect, to their rest in the promised land of the new heavens and the new earth. Therefore, the Sabbath was commanded as a sign of God's covenant with that people, the Israelites, that he redeemed from the bondage of Egypt to inherit the promised land of Canaan, to go in and conquer all of them. Like this timing here, they had already conquered two kings on the east side of the Jordan. They had succeeded. They did that. They're to go into the promised land of Canaan and take that over. Well, I'm going to give you the conclusion from this passage as a conclusion that is really only for the Israelites under that covenant relationship that was started at Mount Sinai and then renewed here in Deuteronomy as they're about to go across the Jordan. The Israelites should have both cherished every week the Sabbath rest that he commanded them to do, and they should remember why they have that rest. God is the creator of everything. God has redeemed them. And the sign of God's goal was that they would rest every 7 days. And the goal was them to rest in Canaan. Yet there was no rest for unbelieving Israelites. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Now Hebrews chapter 4 compares our rest, which we'll get to, and their rest. But it says there's the same gospel, the same good news for both. For good news came to us, Christians, just as to them in Moses' day. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Verse 3, for we who have believed, Christians who have believed, enter that rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So we're now, it sounds strange, but we're going to do an application for us as Christians. In our relationship with our God, same God, as we remember the new covenant, we need to remember two basic truths about our God, the same God. Number one, he is the creator of everything, and when he created it, he formed it and got it the way he wanted to, and then he judged it's very good, and he is resting in the perfection of what he had done. Then we have a relationship with the creator of everything that exists. And Jesus is that creator. The Son of God was there at creation. And we also have a redeemer in the new covenant. And all of those prophets in the Old Testament writing in Hebrew and going in writing about Isaiah's writing and Jeremiah, all these writers, and those who had faith knew there was going to be a Messiah and knew that he was, in a sense, the real deal, not just the promised land in Canaan. And Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, as Moses was a mediator of the Sinai covenant. So, for example, don't be surprised, but be surprised. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We live in a culture that is so restless and so filled with fear, worry, anxiety, taking this drug and that drug, alcohol, illegal drugs, or medication. We are so filled with anxiety because we are restless in our culture. And Jesus says, "Come to me." And he will give you rest for your soul. That is the central core of who you are, your soul. We are in a covenant with a Messiah, a mediator, who rescues us and promises to give us rest for our souls. Doesn't mean it's safe, you're not going to have no troubles, but it means you'll have a real profound rest. Now, it's interesting to go to other parts of the New Testament where unbelievers have no rest. Hear this from Revelation 14, verse 10. The unbeliever, or false worshiper in this case, will drink of the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of God's anger, these unbelievers will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, that's Jesus. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest. You think it's bad now for unbelievers. He's talking about this message. Here is a call for the endurance for saints, Christians. Those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." The goal for you and true believers in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, King David, and so on, true believers in the Old Testament, we're looking forward to what we have as a greater revelation of that's the rest. They knew the rest in Palestine or Jerusalem wasn't the real thing. That they may rest from their labors. How long? Forever. And God is remembered as creator over and over again, both in Old Testament and New Testament. So, for example, in Colossians 1:16, there's a statement clearly referring to God as creator. "For by him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." God, the Creator, it's all for him. It's all for Jesus, all for the Son of God. Everything that exists is for God's glory and for him, including us. Revelation chapter 4. Again, this revelation is a picture of what's going on in heaven. Revelation 4:11, where they're saying, praising, they're saying, "Worthy, worthy are you," this is the quote from 4:11 in Revelation, "worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Okay, God is going to receive glory and honor and power. For what? "For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Rest. God created, he rests. We acknowledge that he created everything. And the Old Testament, of course, describes the New Covenant. There are some things in the Old Testament that talk about what we will remember in the future. There will be a people who will remember something. And this is chilling, but this is application as well. We're talking about memory. Not just Sabbath remembering, but what are we to remember? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 31. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. That's conviction of the Holy Spirit. You look at Peter weeping. You look at Paul humbly saying, I was a persecutor of the church. There's something also in the Old Testament that describes what God will not remember. This is very important too. Isaiah 43, 25. God speaking. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Sounds like the gospel. Yeah. Why did he do it? For his own sake. We weren't wonderful people. For his own glory. He blots out your sins, and he's not going to remember them. Doesn't mean he forgets it. It means he's not going to count it. He's not going to remember it on the day of judgment. It's not going to be considered. Jeremiah says something similar. Jeremiah 31, 31 and following. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, right? Sinai and Deuteronomy, Exodus, Deuteronomy. On the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Now understand what's going on here. By God writing it on your heart means you are born again. He is going to write his will into your very soul. You will be born again. You will know and think completely differently than you did before you were born of a new nature. You are a new creation. You will be a new creation. All my people will be a new creation. And then the last phrase in this passage of Jeremiah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's the new covenant. We are in that. So you can rejoice that on the day of judgment, God will not remember your sins. It doesn't matter. He knows them. Not going to be considered in your day of judgment. And rejoice also that you are being recreated. God and Jesus is in the work, the spiritual renovation, change of your very soul to be more like him. You are part of this creation that is going on now. The Word and the Spirit, your experiences, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, our worship service, everything here is working together powerfully to make you inwardly a profoundly different person. You are going to be made to be good. Really, really good. God the Creator, the Son of God, they're a creation. He is doing it through His Spirit and His Word and a worship service like this where we meet with Him. The goal of our redemption is not just forgiveness of sin. It is that eternal rest where we will enter and we will be at peace in the new heaven and the new earth. So weekly worship for us is way more profound than the Israelites. Why do we meet on the first day? Jesus rose on the first day. It's the beginning of the new creation, the new humanity. He is one of us. He rose from the dead. We will rise from the dead. The Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. There is a new creation going on, profoundly. So we rest on the first day, which is the sign that we rest ultimately in Jesus as we worship in his presence by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Father. We do that weekly. And it should be a joy. As we remember, God is the Creator, and he's recreating you and me. And God is the Redeemer. He's rescued us from sin, the devil, and death. We rest in Christ. My memory, my personal memory is important. And your memory for you should be extremely important also. We are a people who must remember the past. We must remember also what God is doing and what his goal is. First, God created everything. And when he created it, it was perfect, very good. And God rested from that creation. He's also a redeemer, sent his son to redeem us from sin, death, and the devil. And that happened. And the Spirit was poured out. And the Spirit is still working. And the Spirit will bring us to be more and more in the image of God and the image of Jesus Christ. And we will one day enter that perfect paradise where we will have an eternal rest. You see, Christ's goal isn't just the forgiveness of your sins. It is that you would be with him and enjoy fellowship with him and one another in perfection. And it will be, God will judge, this is not in scripture, but God will judge the new heavens and the new earth with us in it for endless days will be very good. And you know, we have this sacrament of the Lord's Supper that we do. And what does Jesus tell us to do? Remember me. We are in a covenant relationship with the Lord of glory, who is their creation, who sacrificed himself for our good, for our salvation, who is coming back, who is working out his plan. Mysterious, we don't know all the details. Now Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 is a new covenant command. Here is what it says. While the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Let us fear, lest any of us should fail to reach that rest. What does it mean we should fear? Well, there's fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. There's the fear where you're afraid that a lion is going to kill you. There's the fear that someone who has authority over you, you've displeased, you've hurt, you've grieved. And you know, I'm speaking of God, Jesus, the Spirit. You've grieved the Spirit. You should fear when you grieve the Spirit. It's a holy fear. It's a godly correction. You should not go, oh, I just sinned. It doesn't matter. You should go, oh, I just did something against the one who created everything. I just did something against the one who saved me from sin, death, and the devil. I fear that that was a huge mistake. And it was. But you don't forget God, the Redeemer. You don't forget the Son of God, who's full of grace and mercy. You turn to him and you remember. You remember grace. You remember forgiveness earned because of his sacrificial death. And then there's the fear that you would forget him. You and I are prone to forget. Not just Jesus, but the Creator, all the wonderful things. We forget. Brothers and sisters, may you never forget the Redeemer. May you never forget the Creator. Because you are in a relationship. You, among all the people in the world, God's people, are in a relationship with the Creator and Redeemer. And it's personal. And it's together. What a blessing. What a God. He is doing this. Not you or me, but He is doing this. And we respond to what He does. Let's pray. Father, oh Father, you sent your Son to be our Redeemer. You sent the Spirit, Father, and Jesus, you sent the Spirit to teach us, to be with us, to strengthen us. Father, we know some of us have gone through very, very hard times, both inwardly in our own thinking and desires. We've had terrible things to deal with, and we've done terrible things. We've sinned. We are unclean at times. But you have provided for all the cleansing that we need. So we come afresh to you, asking you to help us remember that you, the Creator of all that exists, are again making us and the new heavens and the new earth very good. Yes, we will be very good. And we are being made good. And we will be made perfect. Help us to know that is true and secure, because the Creator and Sustainer of everything that exists and His Son will do it. May we rest in that. In Christ's name we pray.